Welcome to the Joseph Campbell Audio Collection. This talk is called The Grail Legend. It is the fourth talk in the series entitled Western Quest. And now, Joseph Campbell.
I'm going to be talking now about the Grail legend, particularly as it appears in Wolfram von Eschenbach's Parsifal. This seems to me to be the great mythos of the modern European world. The problem is very eloquently stated, which we're still facing, in this beautiful and very amusing legend. The great dates for the emergence of the European spirit in its own terms in this secular literature, secular mythology, the great period is between the dates 1150 and 1250. That's the crucial century here. It's the century of the building of the great cathedrals and also of the flowering of Arthurian romance. Before that date, we do not have it. After that date, we do not have it. It's a recollection and vestige from that date on. Now, the European world was re-emerging in this period from almost 1,000 years of abyssal darkness, really. The Roman Empire had extended its domain all the way up to Scotland in the period shortly after Caesar's conquest of Gaul. And so Roman civilization had been present and very well developed. All you have to do is visit, for example, in England, the town, the city of Bath, and see the Roman remains there. And in Spain, in France, and along the Rhine in Germany. Into the Roman world at this time, there came the great influences of the mystery cults, which were flourishing in the Near East, in the late Alexandrian world of the Near East. The Orphic mysteries, the Mithraic mysteries, and others. The number of altars to Mithra that have been found all the way up along the Danube into France and on into England is simply enormous. And there are remains also of the Orphic cults throughout Europe of this time. Now, as we know, in the early days, Christianity was generally associated by the classical world with these mystery cults. Its mythology, its miracle, was essentially equivalent to that of the mysteries. With Constantine in the early 4th century, 325 or so, Christianity was recognized as one of the religions of the Roman world. But then, shortly later, with Theodosius the Great, it was declared that Christianity was the only religion permitted in the Christian world. Theodosius's dates are 378 to 395. And with this, a persecution of the pagans began. The temples were torn down. These ruins that we see all over the Near East and Europe of pagan temples were deliberately rendered ruins. And there was an exodus, really, and an extinction of the cult, the burning of the library in Alexandria, the closing of the classical philosophical schools in Athens, all of these followed. Meanwhile, great theological problems were presented by the Christian doctrine, and these were resolved in that series of 4th, 5th, and early 6th century councils of Chalcedon and Ephesus and Constantinople and so on, the problem of the relationship of the Son to the Father, the Holy Ghost to the Father and the Son, the problem of the birth of God, was Mary the mother of God, or was she the mother merely of Jesus, and did Jesus become the vehicle at the time of the baptism and whatnot? All of these really very difficult and intricate problems were decided, the decisions were made during these centuries by councils of Levantine bishops. There were hardly any European participants in these. The center of gravity of the Roman Empire shifted to Constantinople when Constantine founded that city. Constantine himself was an Asian, not a European. And meanwhile, the European world fell into second place, and a very miserable second place. Of course, the Roman Empire fell only a generation and a half after its conversion to Christianity, the European Roman Empire, and it was Augustine's problem in the City of God to rationalize this disaster and to say that the city of man has collapsed, but the city of God has triumphed. Now, Augustine was a North African, of course, so again, we don't have the European